I feel like I'm a crutch for her right now, that somehow she's only comfortable if I'm there to help support her, which makes me very uncomfortable because, you know, I'm not her husband. And there are days where it just feels like that and a little bit grossed out by it most of the time.
Welcome to the Secret Life Podcast. Tell me your secret. I'll tell you mine. Sometimes you have to go through the darkness to reach the light. That's what I did. After 12 years of recovery in sex and love addiction, I finally found my soulmate, myself. Please join me in my novel, Secret Life of a Hollywood Sex and Love Addict, a 4-time bestseller on Amazon. It's a brutal, honest, raw, gnarly ride, but hilarious at the same time. Check it out now on Amazon. Welcome to Secret Life Podcast. I'm Breanne Davis-Gant. Today, I'm pulling back the curtains of all kinds of human secrets. We'll hear about what people are hiding from themselves or others. You know those deep, dark secrets you probably want to take to your grave? Are those lighter, funnier secrets that are just plain embarrassing? Really, the how, what, when, where, and why of it all. Today, my guest is Chris. Now, Chris, I have a question for you. Dun, dun, dun. What is your secret?
So, I am Chinese. Mm-hmm. And for the longest time through the course of my life, I lived with the shame of being Asian. Like, I felt shameful.
Wow.
I moved here. So I wasn't born here. I was born in Taiwan. And my parents moved us here when I was in first grade. And they made it a point to move us into a non-Asian community.
Why? Did they ever say why?
I think part of it was to acclimate to America. And, you know, and I think a lot of it is also that they wanted us to have that American dream, you know, living in the community, being part of everything. And, you know, and I don't know if they wanted us to sacrifice our heritage per se, but I think what they said was just, you know, you're American now. And I just kind of lived that way. All my friends were white for a long time. And so I felt really uncomfortable around Asian people in schools.
That's so fat. So is any of your extended family here or just you guys came?
I have 26 cousins. So.
What? Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. I think I have like 6, maybe 26.
My dad came from a family of 5 and my mom came from a family of 6. And they each, I think my dad's side each had 2 kids each. And like my mom's, you know, I think I have her oldest sister, I think I have 5 girls and everyone else had 2 each. So
did they all come too or just your family?
So my family was, we're kind of like the second family that came. My aunt was already in San Francisco. Both my cousins kind of grew up here. My 2 youngest, actually, I guess my 4 youngest cousins now, they were all born here. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, and they grew up in Texas. So they were very much American.
Yeah. So my first question for you, did they ever tell you why they left just for the American dream? Or was there any other reason why they left?
I think one was for the dream and another one was just for a better education.
Okay. Okay. So when did you realize you really hated?
I think it was in college was when I first realized that was the first time I was really exposed to like a large, like just Asian community in general. And I didn't relate to any of them. Like I didn't understand the way they acted, the way they spoke Chinese together. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was always taught you should speak English.
Do you know how to speak Chinese?
I do.
Well, I wish I knew more than one language. So I think that's amazing. But but you still didn't understand why they spoke in college.
Yeah, I always thought don't you want this experience instead of just being surrounded by people that look the same way as you?
Right.
And at that point in my life, it was all about like, I want to make sure I'm doing what my parents wanted. And it was very strict. And like Asian culture in general is very strict. It's, you know, you're there to perform, you know, have to seek excellence and you just needed to fit a model of what you're supposed to be.
Wow. So you grew up in that culture and you probably did it to yourself. So it was like double the pressure.
Yeah.
And you hated it at the same time.
Yeah.
So how did you identify at all in, did you, so you grew up in a very white community. So,
yeah.
So how did you want to be like them? And how did you know you would never be like them? Did that happen?
You know, not until college. Like I identify as American. Mm-hmm. I wanted to just be like everyone else. I didn't want to stand out. Mm-hmm. I think the first time I really realized that I was different was my freshman year in college. I was walking down the street. I went to school in Boston and I was walking down one of the neighborhood streets to try to catch the subway. Mm-hmm. And I just remember I walked by this old lady and I noticed, and I don't know why I noticed it, but I noticed that she grabbed her purse and moved it to the other side as I walked by. And that was like the first time I felt like, oh, well, I'm not dangerous.
Wow. I know you and you don't give off that vibe at all. So I'm in a little bit of shock right now.
Yeah. But I think that was the first time I realized like, oh, my skin color isn't the same as yours.
Kind of. Wow. And has there been any moments since then where you felt different?
Yeah. It was about, I think about 10 years ago, we were, I was on a road trip across the country. Mm-hmm. And we stopped in, and it's so like cliche almost, like we stopped in West Virginia at like a Denny's to get lunch. And I was with one person was white, the other person was Brazilian, and the other person was Mexican. But they all, like the Brazilian and the Mexican, they all looked white. And I just felt completely ignored by the waitress. Wow. Like she didn't even look at me. And she just ordered everyone's food. And then I was, you know, I ordered my food, but I never felt a connection.
Yeah.
And that was the
like
first
time.
Like
you were invisible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like somehow, like she grinned and bearded just to talk to me, kind of.
Wow. And what are the other things? And I know this is probably going to get uncomfortable and you don't have to answer anything, obviously, but what are the other things that you hate about your culture?
I have what many would consider a tiger mom.
Oh, yes. Can you explain that if no one knows that concept?
A tiger mom is, it kind of equates to a helicopter mom where they are just around your life in general. And they are basically wanting you to live the life they want you to have and not the life you want to have. And it's all about them going out into the world to show off that my offsprings are better than yours.
It's almost like they take ownership of you, right? Because I have that with a parent where it was like, you're the daughter, I'm the father, you do what I want you to do. And it's like, no, I'm my own person. Is that the same concept just put differently?
Yeah, it's very much so. Mm-hmm. It's about they needed to be in control. And I always tell this is how extreme it gets. You know, I travel a lot. Mm-hmm. I've driven across the country many times. I've flown around the world a lot. And there was once where I flew to Shanghai.
Yeah.
And my phone broke. And I turned it on. It just wouldn't get a signal.
Yeah.
So I couldn't reach out to anyone. And I little did I know that my mom was freaking out because for some reason I didn't check in. And she expects that I check in everywhere I go.
Mm. And how old were you?
Oh, this was like 6 years ago. So I'm like, what was that? That's like 38, 39 years old.
Yeah. So you're a grown human.
I'm a grown man.
You were like 18, 16, but you're a grown man.
Yeah. Who speaks the language, by the way, have traveled everywhere by myself.
Makes his own money and has a job. And yeah.
And when I got back to San Francisco, I finally was able to reset my phone. There was a message from the State Department.
What?
And it was, and I kid you not, it was literally someone said, hey, this is so-and-so from the China desk. Hey, when you land, would you mind giving your mom a call?
No! oh my God. I don't even know what to say. Holy crap.
Yeah.
Wow. She took it to extreme.
Yeah. And so she apparently, and she was chewing me out saying like, I didn't take into consideration her feelings and that, you know, like she, and it's always very passive aggressive. It was like, well, you know, and then it becomes like, well, I guess I didn't raise you well enough. You know, it's my fault. I guess you just don't care about the elders, but that doesn't surprise me because I didn't raise you that way. I didn't properly raise you. And it's like, it's all very much like, I'm a horrible person. I was never taught these things, and you know, I never put anyone's feelings above mine.
So she paints you as selfish when you were just on your trip.
Yeah.
I know. Isn't that so exhausting? I mean, I'm just gonna, so you know, like I know that feeling when a parent, you know, makes it about them, when you're like, wait, what? This is not about you. I'm not here to make you feel better as an adult.
Yeah.
It's almost like gaslighting with the person that's supposed to love you the most in the most healthy way, and then they're not healthy.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's definitely been a big struggle.
Yeah. How else has it been a struggle for you?
You know, with my relationships, you know, I feel like she doesn't have any boundaries, or she'll say things that are inappropriate to my partners.
Can you give an example or no?
So, and I don't know if you know, like, it's about 12 years ago, they moved down here, and I made the decision that, you know, we'll live together so I can at least be helpful. Cause my brother, is developmentally disabled.
Mm. So your mom and your brother live with you.
Yeah.
Right. And that's the culture too, right?
That's very much the culture. But my girlfriend and I, we've been together for 7 years. You know, it's a different story as to why we're not married yet, but you know, well, that's another time.
Another secret.
she told me once that that my mom spoke to her about, like, you know, like, where are we going to move to? Like, and she said, you know, we're not sure yet. You know, it depends on where her job lands and where I can work. And she literally said to her, well, you know, like, well, we'll come with you guys. And, you know, obviously that freaked her out. And I, you know, so it's like having to manage my relationship and not allow her to interfere with it so that she can feel safe and comfortable.
Yeah. And enmesh with it.
Yeah.
And do you feel you've set good boundaries with that? Or are you still going through it now?
I'm still going through it. It's still, yeah. Yeah. I think Asian moms in general, just, it doesn't matter what boundaries you set, they're going to cross it.
You obviously have never met my father. So it's not just Asian mother. So just so you know, you are not alone in the boundary crossing. No, anybody that has no boundaries will keep trying to cross them. And sometimes you have to cut them out of your life. I'm not saying cut your mother out of your life at all. It's just, that's what you have to do sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've thought about it. I haven't openly just said, you know, like, I'm going to move. Like, mm-hmm. You guys are going to be on your own. But I've looked into opportunities elsewhere for work. And, you know, and I think the braver thing for me to do is just to say, you know, you need to stop, or I'm going to move out. This isn't working out. I eventually will get to that place. You know, as of now, I've been working on finding other opportunities in different parts of the world.
Wait, Chris, let me get this correct. You are looking for a different job in another location so you can break up with your mom.
Yeah, that sounds bad, but that's...
But that's what it is, right?
Yeah.
Not that I'm calling you on the shit, but like, we're friends. Yeah. So I can kind of call you on your shit a little bit. Like, normally I don't call people out this much, but like, that's what you're telling me, that you are trying to find another job in another place so you can break up with your mom.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah. That's what, and I turned down the opportunity. There was an opportunity.
I know there was.
Yeah.
International, that you've always wanted to go to, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Look at, I'm totally calling him on a ship, people, but like, international.
Yeah, it would have been, it's like a dream of mine.
I know.
Yeah.
And did you did turn it down?
I did, yeah.
Because of your mom?
I think there's some underlying issues there. And, you know, I mean, there are other things, but I think mostly was that.
So if I took out the mom factor, would you have gone?
I think if there wasn't COVID at that moment, I would have definitely like.
So a pandemic, if there wasn't a pandemic in your mom.
I think I would have been, I think you guys would have seen me on Zoom a lot more.
Yeah. That's the thing. It's like, I am your friend and I love you. And it's like a part of me wants to shake you a little bit. This is not an intervention, people, just so you know, but you want to do so much with your life and this cultural obligation that you, it's suffocating you. And some people are listening going, Brianne, you're not in this community. You have no idea the pressure that's put on. I totally get that. But it's like, when is enough enough? Because you have taken care of your family.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you'll still take care of them.
Oh, absolutely. Like I wouldn't, it's not like if I moved away, I would just cut them off. I would still be available. I just feel like, I feel like I'm a crutch for her right now. That somehow she's only comfortable if I'm there to help support her, which makes me very uncomfortable because, you know, I'm not her husband. And there are days where it just feels like that and a little bit grossed out by it most of the time. So
no, it's that emotional incest. And you've heard me talk about it and I've shared about it. It's like where the child takes the place of the partner. Can I ask what happened with your dad and her?
Yeah, so they're separated, but they're not divorced.
They're not. How long have they been separated?
God, it's about almost 15 years now. So.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Wow, 15 years they've been separated, but not divorced.
Not divorced.
So there's almost like in your family unit, people holding on to things that don't work for them anymore.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, so it's tough for me because my dad actually lives in Taiwan now.
Oh, he moved. So he relocated.
Yeah, he relocated when I was a freshman in high school for work. Mm-hmm. He went to China to work. And, you know, we would go every winter and every summer. And, you know, and I had no idea anything was wrong because it was great. Like we lived in a hotel, like we had everything we needed, just tell the concierge and they'll give it to us.
Yeah.
And I didn't really know anything was wrong until after college. And then I started noticing things and then, you know, and they mentioned that, you know, they're just not happy.
So he never came back when he was working there.
Yeah. So he would come back, but, but since I was away, I never saw it.
So when he finally said they were separating, did you have a physical reaction?
It was hard. Mm-hmm. Cause you know, I think when parents divorce and you're younger, it's a lot easier to handle because you're still developing as a human being. And it was at a point where I was grown and they said, you know, we're no longer together. And so it was very much like, well, where do I put my loyalty towards? And, you know, and it's just being able to be there for both of them makes it hard.
So how you were in your early 20s when they separated? You were in college?
Yeah. I just graduated. So.
Yeah. So 23-ish probably?
Yeah.
Yeah. My parents divorced late too. They divorced when I was 17, 18. And I mean, I think divorce is hard no matter what age it is. But definitely as an adult, if there's an enmeshing parent on the side of it, that puts a lot of pressure on the child.
Yeah.
And it all landed on you.
Yeah. And the fact that they're not divorced, that means he still comes back when he can. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they stay in different rooms or they'll stay in different places. But it's still very much hard for me to be in the middle because they're sometimes arguing.
Oh, they still argue and everything.
Yeah. You know, we can be at a restaurant and like the way he chews, they'll argue about it.
So how does that feel watching your mom do that to your dad in public?
It's tough. And it's also, I think that also adds to the embarrassment and the shame that I have. It's embarrassing to be outside and, you know, and they're speaking Chinese to each other while yelling at each other. And it's like, I just want to kind of get as small as possible.
But so here's my question for you. How are you going to change this perspective of your culture? Because it's a part of you, because there's a part of you that hates you.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I'm incredibly grateful for when I changed jobs was I came to a company where there were a lot of Asian people, and there were a lot of Asian people on my team that I work with. And just, I think the culture itself at work, it lends to us being vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And we started talking about like just being Asian in this world. And it turns out that more Asians in general deal with this problem, the unrealistic expectations that are put upon them to be the caretaker for the family, you know, and then having to deal with the stress of it. Some people do it better than others, you know, and some people succeed, others, you know, start drinking or using.
Yeah.
To try to cope. And that helped being in that space. And I really do believe like feeling safe while talking about it with people at work has made me better. It got me to a place where I started joining the Asian network at work.
You did?
Yeah, I started going to meetings, and I did the whole, like, you know, lurking. I didn't have my camera on. I just wanted to listen and feel like I'm part of something. And like, finally, my colleague just said, you know, would you like to help? And I don't know what, and he did say yes, but I just said, sure.
Oh my God, that's amazing. I envy you where you actually have a culture and I don't. Oh. Like, no one ever asked me where I'm from or what heritage or anything. Like, that is not a question that is ever asked. I'm just a blonde white girl. Like, you know, sometimes they're like, where are you from? And I'll say where I'm from, but I envy that part where the uniqueness.
It's so funny too, because it's like, I never wanted to be different. I always just wanted to be part of everything.
Right.
But I think the more, you know, more I've grown, the more work I've done on myself, the more I'm more open to the idea that, you know, it's okay being who I am. And even like my girlfriend, like she has told me that she thought she was born like Asian in a previous life, because she loves like China, Japan, and she just loves the culture.
So here's your girlfriend who loves you. You guys have been together for 7 years, loves the culture. Is that helping you starting to love your culture more?
I think so. Yeah, definitely. You know, we've been through Asia a lot more, and it's forced me to speak Chinese, especially in China, where it's forced me to speak Chinese and interact with other Chinese people who, for the most part, were surprised that I spoke Chinese.
Really? Why? Because they knew you weren't living there anymore?
Because I didn't look very much like I grew up in China.
Oh, you already Americanized.
Yeah, I was very much Americanized. And, you know, and all of them I've heard this from many people. They're just like, oh, you speak really good Chinese. And, you know, and it felt good. You know, what's really interesting is the person that hired me at the new company, she's Chinese. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about things and like we're foodies. So we'll talk about different types of foods. And there are a couple times where she'll just say the Chinese word for it, because we can't really at the moment, like we're like, I don't know what the English translation for it is.
Yeah.
And so we have those moments. And then, but the thing that I always get a little kick out of is, you know, sometimes in Chinese restaurants, when they don't expect you speak Chinese, they'll talk about you.
Totally. I know they're talking about you, but I love that you know what they're saying. But here's my thing I want you to do next time you're with your boss, just start speaking Chinese to her and see what happens.
I will.
Okay.
I will.
You have to tell me next time we talk if you did it and how it felt.
I will. And I think because I'm now working along with in the Asian network, I feel like there's opportunities for me to use my native language and just talk to others in Chinese.
And to fully embrace yourself.
Yeah.
You know? And then I know we're running out of time and you're a busy, busy person, but I have to ask you this. When are you going to finally cut the umbilical cord with your mom and like step into your quote unquote future? Because you and I've been talking and it's like, I feel like when you do that, you will fully love yourself in your culture.
I'm working to get there. I think once my girlfriend is through with her training, I think the goal, and we've talked about it, is to move to where we can both work
and not bring your mom with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that's the goal. Like, and when you do that, you have to come back on and share that whole experience. Promise me that. How messy it probably got, but how empowering.
Yeah, definitely. I think, my therapist always reminds me that the more work I do on myself, mm-hmm. the more I will be triggered by what my mom does. And she just says, and that's a good thing.
It is a good thing because sooner or later, you're going to stand up and say enough is enough. And the healthier you get, the more uncomfortable the toxicity when it comes at you.
Yeah.
So let's get you really uncomfortable.
Thanks.
Okay. My last question for you before we go, if somebody is listening out and has the same experience or with a family member, even, or their culture, what would be your advice for them?
I would say embrace who you are mm-hmm. and the uniqueness that you bring to life. I think I spent so much time trying to fit in. And what I realized is I don't need to try to fit in. I think people accepted me because I am different. I'm tall. I'm taller than most people. Mm-hmm. I have no hair. Like those are all things that I'm like, I can't shave my head because then I'll be different. And just embrace the differences and be authentic. And then if people like you, they'll like you. If they don't, then you weren't really meant to be in the same place together.
Ah, beautifully put. And I just have to let you know, when we met, I was like, wow, he's tall and bald. He's badass. Like I actually thought it was an amazing quality and that you are Asian and you are different. Like I immediately was drawn to your uniqueness and how awesome you were. And then you spoke and you were so kind. And it's like, I want you to fully love you just like I love you and care about you.
Thank you.
So just so you know, walk into that room, like owning your shit and don't bring your mom with you.
I am slowly learning that. It's imperfect, but I'm learning it.
Well, this is what the show is about, having these secrets, even if they're in the present still, and like going through the process. So I'm so grateful you said yes when I asked you to come on and share this. And I'm so glad we're friends.
Yeah, me too. And thank you for asking me. It meant a lot to me.
And if you want to be on the show, please email me at secretlifepodcast@icloud.com. Until next time. Thanks again for listening to the show. Please subscribe, rate, share, or send me a note at secretlifepodcast.com. And if you'd like to check out my book, head over to secretlifenovel.com or Amazon to pick up a copy for yourself or someone you love. Thanks again. See you soon.
These days, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make all kinds of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, right here in the USA. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs in towns and cities across the country. And jobs bring pride. Purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.